might not know the date. You may not know the time. But I guarantee you, if the Lord's ever saved you, you can go back to a place. Some of you may have just reached out, touched the hem of His garment. Some of you may have been like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, struck down suddenly by the power of God, convicted you of your sin. But we all got one thing in common. There had to be a place and a time when our faith reached out and touched the Savior. If you have a Bible with you this morning, let's turn over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. I appreciate the preaching Brother Mike did Wednesday night on the temptation of the Lord. He dealt with Luke's Gospel 4. And this morning I want to pick up where Brother Mike left off in verse number 14. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Watch your Bible. There went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up. As His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and He gave it again to the minister, and He sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto Me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And He said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many were widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," or Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, to a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elisus, the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They rose up, thrust Him out of the city, led Him to the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, they might cast Him down headlong. But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Thank You for standing this morning and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. We thank You that there is no Savior but Your Son. Thank You one day that our hearts and our eyes were opened toward Calvary's cross. Now, Lord, I thank You for the songs that have been sung this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to preach this morning to be a blessing. I pray You'd deal with hearts around this assembly. God, You know the needs of each life, each home, each heart. Help us, I pray, this morning. Touch those on our prayer list. For You are a God that can do things that we cannot do. And we need You to help us in this day and this hour. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You this morning. Amen. And amen. I want to preach today on Jesus at Nazareth. Now, we find in the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4, the devil took Jesus up into high places. Matter of fact, the devil said, I'll give you all this if you just fall down and worship me. You know, if you climb to a high place in life, be wary. The devil not only meets you in low places, but he loves to meet you in high places. You may be sitting in a high place this morning in life, but you remember this. The Lord has allowed you to climb to those high places. You better remember where your bread's been buttered today. You've not done it on your own merit, but God has helped you and showed you favor. So here, as the Lord was tempted, I'll remind you that as the Lord was tempted by the devil, you and I will be tempted by the devil. The only way that we're going to overcome the temptations of the devil is to do like the Lord was, to be filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of people, the Spirit scares them in this day and this hour. But I will remind you that the Holy Ghost is our friend this morning. He said He would lead and guide you into all truth. The Bible said if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You better know that the Spirit of God lives in you or you'll not go to the heaven where this Bible teaches of this morning. Now Jesus, in Luke 4:16, by way of outlining, I want to say three things and then get right into preaching. I won't be long this morning. But Jesus at Nazareth, you'll notice there was Jesus returning. In verse number 16, He came to Nazareth. I want to remind you, there's coming a day when Jesus will return. Now, there was a returning. We see the custom of His home. Then secondly, we find Jesus reporting. We find the compassion of His heart. But then thirdly today, we see Jesus replying the critics from the hearers. Isn't it amazing? They said, Oh, thou man of gracious words. They loved Him when the service started. But by the time the service had ended, they took Him to a high place and was casting Him down a hill. This morning we find Jesus returning. You'll find, first of all, that the Bible speaks that Jesus was brought up in verse 16. His custom was He was brought up in the synagogue. Big difference in tabernacles and synagogue. Matter of fact, most old writers say that for every 10 Jewish families, they had a synagogue. They would go to church. And I want to say that Jesus was brought up to go to church. You ought to be bringing your children up to go to church. You ought not send your children to church. You ought to bring them to church. There's something about coming to church. Now, I'm a better man because I attend the assembly. I want to say when I miss church, my flesh goes to stinking. You see, the day that God saved us, He didn't save our flesh. And I've noticed when I've been brought up in church and I attend church, it helps my flesh. I wonder if anybody got a flesh problem. Matter of fact, the older you get, I figured that the flesh would begin to die. But I declare, the older I get, the more the flesh wants to live. Therefore, the Bible teaches us that we must put that old man on a cross every day and crucify him. Oh, it'll help us to come to the house of God. Jesus was brought up. When I miss the house of God, I notice that my flesh begins to stink. And then I notice that my faith gets really weak. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think a lot of times we think the Lord's not doing things, but I'll remind you, the devil will never show you what you got, but that's what you ain't got. The same way in the church. The devil will love to show you what's not going on, but he won't show you what is going on. I'm glad we got some children that's being raised in the house of God. We're singing those songs is still right, and preaching out of a King James Bible is still the order of the Sunday morning service. Now his custom was, you'll find Jesus was brought up. Now there, Mary and Joseph took their child to church, to the synagogue. Notice what their order was in their church service. Here, the Bible said that they opened the book. Now they didn't have a Bible like you and I've got. They had scrolls. And as they would come in, they would stand as they would read. Can I tell you, the Word of God is still worth standing for in this day and this hour. So Jesus walks in the synagogue, and there is all the leaders and the dignitaries of the community. They were the most religious people. Matter of fact, you'll find some real religious people hanging out in the synagogue. We don't need religious people. We need righteous people. We need people that's filled the Spirit of God and has come out from this whole world ready to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Matter of fact, some of you say, well, I don't like that kind of going to church. Well, God's got you here for a reason today. Matter of fact, if some of you'd cry a little, yeah, and just let your head leak, it wouldn't swell near as bad on you. We are missing out going to church in this day and this hour. But Jesus found Himself brought up in church. I notice when I miss church, that boy, my flesh becomes wretched. It becomes filthy. Gets to stinking, and my faith gets weak, and I notice my fellowship with God begins to get cold, and it sort of moves off to the side. I need coming to the house of God as Jesus and His custom was. And then I will say something about our friends at the house of God. Some of the greatest friends in my life are here, and the reason they are is because we have a bond together at the house of God where Jesus died on Calvary's cross, and we were able to get in the family of God. I'm glad to be at God's house this morning, as His custom was. He was brought up. Then secondly, not only was He brought up, He's 30 years old now, He showed up. Now, I want to say, when you children have been brought up, you ought to learn to show up. When you get to learning to drive, you ought to find yourself to the house of God. And so therefore, His custom was, He was brought up and He showed up. And then I like it, He stood up. We need a generation that will stand up down at the house of God this morning. Oh my goodness, He was brought up and showed up, but He stood up. But then you'll notice He spoke up. Hey, we need a generation that is brought up, that is show up, that is stand up, and that is speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus returning as His custom was. He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, they done some things, the order of service, that we still hold by today. The tabernacle is where they offered a sacrifice and were living by the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. You see, we can't work good enough to go to heaven this morning. God knew the law could save nobody, for the law is perfect. You that's trying to live with them Ten Commandments, you're a failure every day. You cannot live by the law. The law's perfect. Nothing's wrong with the law. What's wrong is us. So God allowed that law to show us how wicked and how needy we are. So He sends His Son down to Nazareth, back to his hometown. Everybody knew Jesus. They knew all about him. He had been raised there for 30 years. He was raised in a carpenter's shop. They knew all about Jesus. They'd ate with him. They'd been to synagogues where they'd seen him as a little boy. And no doubt there, as Mary and Joseph had brought him to church. But now he comes in the house with a new order. So we find him now. Jesus is returning. He had a custom of his home. Young people, if there's anything, and I know a lot of times you don't see things happening, but I'm going to tell you something. When you can't trace God, you can always trust God. Do you hear me this morning? A lot of times you get them babies up, I don't hold that lightly. We're living in the most busiest culture that has ever been. But let me tell you, that's not God's fault this morning. God's not moved. God's not went no place. But I realize that it takes sacrifice and dedication to get your family to the house of God. But you ought to make it your custom. Sunday ought not be the day that we plan that we vacate 52 weeks a year. We ought to plan some things around the house of God. We ought not go to the deer stand every Sunday morning, nor the fishing boat every Sunday morning, nor the blue light special every Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we ought to determine in our hearts we're going to the house of God. Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue, and we're going to be like the Lord, and for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can find all kinds of excuses to miss church. And you've got to agree one thing at Liberty Baptist Church. It ain't a dead, boring church. It's worth the drive if you want church. Church ought not be something just to check off the bucket list for the week. Let me tell you something. It ought to be such a central theme in our life that everything around us develops and is planned around the house of God. So his custom was Jesus returning, the custom of the home. But then secondly, Jesus reporting. Look at the compassion of his heart. Now Jesus walks in. They take a scroll, and as he stood up, as his custom was, as the leaders would read, all of a sudden, we don't know who did this, but somebody handed him the book. It wasn't a book like me and you have. It was a scroll. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. And so he turns over to Isaiah chapter number 61. This scroll is unveiled and they hand it to Jesus. And the Bible said, in verse number 18, he started reading. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, look, to the poor." What about these big shot Baptists think somebody don't have nice things to wear to church or can drive nice things? Honey, let me tell you something. Jesus came to the poor and the lowly. If you think you work for the FBI and you're trying to look and sort of who's supposed to be here and ain't going to be here, you probably the one don't need to be here. Gospel to the poor. Listen, young people. Them nice clothes you get to wear didn't come by accident. Your mom and daddy's worked for them. God's blessed them to put them on your back. You ought to be thankful for them. And when the other little children can't wear nice things as you can, you ought to be good to them and give them some of what you got sometime instead of looking down your little nose at them and making fun at them. Jesus came to preach to the poor. I'm glad you don't have to have money to be saved. I'm glad he said, "Come and buy without price." I'm glad that Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross. He came to preach to the poor. Those that are poor in spirit. If you're heady and high-minded, you'll not get saved with that kind of attitude. Jesus came. And he's read, he said, "He hath anointed me." In other words, he said, the Spirit of God has enabled me. It has equipped me. I've noticed when a man is anointed that
He cannot equip himself. But the Spirit of God comes upon that man with the Word of God. And the Spirit of God says truth.
So Jesus was enabled. He was sent. And I want to say that God always equips the call this morning. You see, when God calls you, God will give you what you need to stand. Now, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. And look what he says. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody brokenhearted today? Jesus came to heal your broken heart. There's more in this life than things. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus came to not only preach to the poor, but He came to heal the brokenhearted. Look, He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Has anything got you bound down this morning? Well, He came to set the captives free. And then He came for the recovering of sight to the blind. We ought to pray that God would grant light to dark eyes this morning. Jesus is the light of the world. Men love darkness rather than the light. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. That word bruised means split apart. Jesus not only came to save people, Jesus came to put lives back together. I'm glad there's organizations for people to try to get their life back together, but you'll never meet nobody that can get your life together like Jesus can. Every club in the country, they got a 3-4-10-step process. I'm going to tell you, friend, when Jesus does it, He does it on the spot. And therefore, you'll notice that He came to set at liberty them that bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now look what happens in verse 20. And He closed the book. He didn't say all of it. I wonder how many times that you've closed the book on Him and you didn't allow Him to say all of it. He closed the book. He sat down. And He gave it again to the minister. Now you'll notice they had a minister. They had a preacher there. They had a book there. They had what they had of their Bible. They had an assembly together. And Jesus reads this. And as Brother Mike alluded in Luke 4 this week, that how the devil left something out. Well, I'm going to tell you, you'll notice in Isaiah 61, in verse number 1 is where Jesus is reading, but He intentionally left something out. And I want to bring it to your heart this morning. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now this is where He stopped. What is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? Did you know every 50 years there was a law in the Old Testament of the oracles of God that every 50th year, everybody's debt was undone. Everyone's slave owner no longer owned those slaves. Everybody became free. And Jesus said that, but He stopped and He didn't say these next words. And look what these next words say. He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and stop. This is what He did not say. "And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." Why didn't Jesus allude to that part? Because that's at the second coming. Jesus at the first coming, this is the day of grace. Jesus came to proclaim the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus. But in Isaiah 61, he says, in the day of the vengeance of the Lord. When's that, preacher? That's on the second coming of the Lord. When he comes back to this whole world after the saints has got out of this place. So today is the day of salvation. God is withholding His wrath from this world. Do you realize this Bible says this whole world's going to burn as an oven? Next time you see a rainbow, me and Miss Renee was at the house of that, one of the prettiest sights I've ever seen, Brother Mike. She said, honey, look yonder. And over them whole woods in that house was a big rainbow over there. You know what that means? That's God's promise that He put in the sky that He would not destroy this world again with water. But you know what He's going to do? He's going to burn it with consuming fire. Everything we got here is going to burn up. But Jesus came and He stood up in that synagogue and He said, hey, y'all, I've come to preach the gospel. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to do things that the law could not do. And they said, boy, aren't these gracious words? And then He turned, and you know what He said, what really got them? He started talking about Elijah. Then He started talking about Elisha. He said, and by the way, do y'all remember when God sent that prophet over there to that widow woman? She wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan. She was a Gentile. They didn't like that. You know why? Gentile was dogs. They thought they had a monopoly upon God. And then He said, not only did I send Elijah, but I sent Elisha. I sent him over to Naaman the prophet. Nobody liked old Naaman. But he had to go in the Jordan. Get his sins gone. He said, y'all remember when I did that? You know what this crowd of people did? All of a sudden they turned and said, is not this Joseph's son? Then they said this, if you can do all these things, do them on yourself. I've noticed in preaching, I've noticed people don't really deny the truth. They try to find something wrong with the preacher. I've heard people say, oh, that Bible's right, but oh, that preacher. Let me tell you, that preacher ain't got nothing to do with whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. Jesus paid the price for you. And I don't care what preacher is, it ain't changing the fact this Bible's right and the Word of God's correct this morning. So they tried to find fault with the preacher. And look what they've done. They took him out to a cliff. Miss Cheryl, won't you come this morning, please, sister? Took him out to a cliff. Now, this is the thing about it. Watch this spiritual application. They thought they was going to higher ground getting rid of Jesus. But what they didn't realize, it was a cliff on the other side spiritually. They was fixing to be cast down. Why, preacher? Because they rejected Jesus. Did you know in Romans chapter number 11, the Bible said that the Jews would not take him, so he turned to the Gentiles? Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you being a Gentile this morning? Hey, let me ask y'all something. In all them Jewish synagogues, could you imagine Naaman the leper? He's a great general in the army. He had great medals and trophies. Could you imagine old Naaman coming in, sitting in a service, and somebody got to singing about Jesus and how it dawned on him how good Jesus had been to him? Can I tell you this morning, Liberty Baptist Church, Jesus has been so good to us. You know, we still live in the day and hour when people cannot really deny the message, but that they try to make light of the messenger. You know what this Bible said really helped me? A prophet isn't without honor in his own country. You know why? They'd watch Jesus grow up. He was just like them. That's why it's so hard for you to witness to your family. They don't think much of you. You know, that crowd that I run with did all them things I'm ashamed of. You know what they said when I got saved and called to preach? Well, it'll wear off. Don't have much honor with them. But you know, God sent me places. And it's amazing at the respect. You see, Jesus, in their eyes, became one of them. Jesus is not one of us. He's the Son of God. Never known sin. He was God-man. He was in all points in the flesh, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that amazing? Jesus knows about every temptation you've ever went through, but yet He never yielded to temptation. The devil took Him to a high place. Said, you can have all this. You'll bow down and worship Me. But Jesus, being filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I want to say something. When they rejected Christ, you know what He did? You history buffs, look at this. See if I hadn't studied this week to preach this morning. When Jesus left Nazareth, He would come off the map. He never went back to Nazareth again and done any mighty works. Because they rejected Him. You know why Jesus is not in some churches the way He used to? They quit respecting Him. Quit receiving Him as the authority. If Jesus told me to walk on that banister, I love what Brother David said this morning. Brother David, the minute that when we think that we can do this by ourselves, we might as well padlock these doors. We've got to have the Lord. Did you notice He was sent to the down and outers? I'm glad not at our church, but I have preached at many places where the down and outers come in and they say, what are they doing here? Can I ask y'all something? I'm going this evening to make hospital visits. You know what I expect to find there? Sick people. Why do you that come to church and don't expect to find sinners? Why don't you expect to see the lonely and the down and outers? If it's ever been a day and an hour that our church needs to say, come on, come on, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. Miss Sherry, you play this morning. I don't know what you need, but I want to open this altar this morning.